episode 30.
Welcome to the podcast, Life of Awesome. My name is Saul Blinkoff. I'm a husband, father of four, and director-producer who works for some of the top studios in Hollywood, including Disney, DreamWorks, and Netflix. My goal? Simple. I want to live the best life I possibly can, and I want the same for you. I travel the world talking about life, and if there's one thing I've learned, every single person on the planet wants the exact same thing. We don't want a life of good. We don't want a life of great. We want a life of awesome. I really want to thank you for being here today listening. I realize there are so many podcasts out there, and I really appreciate you giving me the most valuable thing that you have, your time. If you like the podcast, please hit the subscribe button, give us a rating, a review, and of course, share it with your family and friends. That said, let's get into it. Since the beginning of time, mankind has and will always be asking a primal question. Why are we here? What is my purpose? If you don't have the answer to that question, you will most probably walk through life aimlessly without any real direction. But if you are able to answer that, well, you're the luckiest person in the world, because then you will clearly know how to direct all of your efforts all the days of your life. You will have the most valuable thing that you will ever possess: clarity. Well, my next guest is a man who has attained exactly that: clarity. He wakes up every day with a singular goal: to impact as many lives as he can using his greatest passion, tea. That's right, just a simple cup of tea. You see, his goal is to facilitate the greatest tea drinking experience that a person could possibly have on planet Earth. Meaning, he has created the best cup of tea in the world. He has created tea the way Michelangelo sculpted David out of marble, the way Degas painted ballerinas, the way Mozart composed the magic flute. He has created tea as a true artist. His company is called The Art of Tea, and you can find these hand-blended organic teas in the finest establishments all over the world, at top companies like Google and Vera Wang, restaurants like Wolfgang Puck, Spago, and hotels like the Beverly Hills Hotel, the Peninsula, Caesar's Palace, the Surf Rider in Malibu, Shutters on the Beach. Please welcome a man who is changing the world one cup of tea at a time: a husband, a father, master tea blender, Steve Schwartz. Hey, Steve, how you doing, man?
Great, brother. Thank you so much. I'm just humbled by everything that you're sharing and you know, glorifying. Thank you so much for the opportunity, for allowing me to connect with you today.
Well, look, it's a privilege to have you. It's not every day that I get to bring on a guest who has achieved such a level of accomplishment like you, but also to bring on someone that I consider a dear friend. You know, we've known each other a really long time. And personally, I've seen you build this company. I've seen you build it from your home into the incredible worldwide company that it is. And the pleasure me and my wife and four kids have had watching you grow that company and enjoy the fruits of that labor in our own home has been really something important to us. And we're very, very excited about Art of Tea. My kids are like, "Dad, you have Art of Tea on today, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, today he's on." They're so excited. So look, we're really happy you're here. And, you know, I hope everyone listening, if you hear this interview, and let's say you're listening now and you're thinking, "Well, I'm not really a tea drinker. This won't really concern me. This isn't really my cup of tea, so to speak." Well, then you're mistaken, because there will be so many tools you will hear from this story, from this man, and so much about his journey are things that we'll be able to apply to our own lives. So, Steve, let's just take a moment and let's go back to the beginning. Before you were at Spago and working with Wolfgang Puck and all the places you've been, where did it begin and why?
So I'll go back to high school, if that's okay.
Okay.
So I just finished high school. I was living in Tucson, Arizona. It's just me and my brother living together throughout high school. And I got a full paid scholarship to go to college. And my mom got diagnosed with brain cancer. And so I moved out of Tucson and I moved back in with her in California. And I took care of her for about 10 months. And we went from one experimental treatment to another one, you know, one doctor, one hospital to the next, and nothing was working. So eventually she passed. And it sort of woke me up. Like after 10 months, it was like, wow, this is, you know, this thing called cancer. I want to learn more about this. So, I didn't want to become a doctor. I didn't want to stick needles in people. I didn't want to be a massage therapist, but I want to understand health and wellness a bit better. I wanted to see how I could help my family, my loved ones, my community, myself, have a deeper understanding before we go from dis-ease, right? Really understanding wellness. And so I found this school in New Mexico called the Ayurvedic Institute. And I went to the school. I worked there. I worked several different jobs while I was working there, and I really fell in love with the alchemy of blending herbs and teas and botanicals. So much so that I wanted to go to Origin. I saved my money, worked four different jobs. I got a backpack and I started traveling around the world to find the best teas and botanicals possible. So I had no idea that I was going to start a tea company. I just knew that I was a huge tea nerd and into it, started bringing stuff back into our living room, blending in our living room. And at this point, I was recently married. I had got offered this amazing job, but it was getting more traction in the tea space. So I had to decide, like, what are we going to do? Are we going to follow this path of, you know, this career path, or am I going to go do the crazy thing and start a tea company out of my living room? And then we found out that we had a child on our way. So I, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because it wakes you up, right?
It wakes
you
up.
All right. So I said, okay.
More mouths to feed. More mouths to feed, right?
Yeah.
Responsibility. Yeah,
and in our tradition, you know, that we believe that each kid brings its own luck, brings its own level of success and joy through that process. And somehow we are able to create some space in our lives and room in our lives, both mentally, emotionally, as well as physically. What we did was we created a list, like, okay, well, why do we want to succeed and what do we want to do? And so we created our dream board. In fact, our kids are working on their dream boards now for 2022, which is a really fun exercise to do as a family.
That's great.
So the number one thing was we have a child on the way. So I needed to dive all in, and I found that tea was a way that people were really resonating with it. It didn't matter what religion or race or gender, demographics you come from. And if you're not a tea drinker, and I certainly was, man, when I first had tea, it was disgusting. It was like the stuff you get at the supermarket. I never liked tea. But when you have an amazing tea experience, it's a completely tea drinking. It's just how the flavor, the aromas, the biofeedback effect, the mental stimulating effect of a high quality tea drinking experience is on a completely different level.
So there you are, you're married, you got a kid on the way, and you have to make a decision. Are you going to invest a lot of money into a company? I mean, it's one thing to have a passion for tea. It's another thing to say to your wife, honey, believe in me. I'm going to support our family. We're going to make our living with this passion of mine. That must have been a difficult decision.
You know, I feel so fortunate because she was the one that was like, you know, go for it. You can always go back and you can get another great job. Like,
yeah,
just go for it. And so,
well, she believed like, in right. you. That's awesome.
Yeah, she believed in me. She's like, we're still young. You know, we got this. But for me, the my back against the wall sort of pressure forced me to I just needed to have $1,000 in sales a month. If I did $1,000 in sales a month, and then it was $1,000 in sales a week, right? If I just create $1,000 in sales a week, like we're golden, babe. All right. And then it's like, you realize that I remember like one of my first orders, one of my first big orders, I was up till 2 a.m. packing and sealing and blending. And I was like, I need more product. And I maxed out one credit card. I didn't have any investors. I didn't have a lot of cash in here. We were literally living out of my mother-in-law's house and it was blending in her living room. And so we were like just packing and trying to figure out. And we paid our credit cards down every single month and just slowly grew. It was month over month of just compounded impact. And we really focused on the hospitality space. It was like hotels and those restaurants and some office programs. And then my cell phone was the center for customer service, accounts receivable, accounts payable, marketing, sales. Everything was my cell phone.
Oh, you were everything. You were the marketing department. You were.
Yeah. And I remember getting a phone call from a waiter. And the waiter was like, at 10:30 at night, hey, is this Art of Tea? And I'm like, yeah. It's like, so there's a customer here that really loves your tea and they want to know where they can buy it. And I'm like, you know what? They can go to artoftea.com. Just tell them to look back at artoftea.com in about a week. And they're like, okay, all right. I'll tell them that. I didn't have enough money to buy the domain. I didn't know how to build a website.
Oh, you didn't even have the website.
I knew it was for sale. I knew domain.
I'm wondering, why do you need a week to get the tea? You're like, no, there is no website.
There is no website. So I built the website. I was building it in Dreamweaver, like working all crazy hours, just trying to put this Dreamweaver thing together.
Remember those days?
Yeah.
Before Squarespace, right?
Yeah. So I built the first website. I designed the first logo and you know, now, thank God, like we're, you know, my responsibilities and the talented, amazing team that we have now is it's really helping to elevate way beyond where we were 18 years ago.
What was that moment where the company went from just another tea company to something special from the public perspective? I know you always believed in the product, but was there a client? I mean, was it Wolfgang Puck? Was there some moment where you were like, wow, we're really getting this quality tea in quality places? People who know quality are finally appreciating our product. When did that happen?
It's compounded, you know, like I don't know if there's one defining moment. You know, it takes 18 years to be an overnight success. Yeah. The first tea sommelier in the world was I trained, and it was at Caesar's Palace. So I think part of that training at Caesar's Palace and part of that process helped escalate our presence. The other part was, you know, because it's, you know, for us, it's being big and being small at the same time, sort of a small giant where, you know, we if you start a company with the intention of, I just want to be big and I want to be everywhere, then it's hard to grasp at the real impact that you can make with your intention of what you want to do. So what we first did was we realized, okay, well, what do we want to do? And if I can get spiritual here, if God, maybe some people will call it the universe, has put us on this planet to make an impact and to help provide something that's unique, and we're all here with some sort of special, unique gift and offering, then what can we do to be able to fuel those channels for making this world much better than how we were handed this world? It's an amazing world. It's a beautiful, dynamic world. But how can we continue to bring in, you know, more of this amazing energy into this world? And so if we utilize this vehicle, and for me, it's tea, utilizing this vehicle to impact as many lives as we can through tea, it's a slow drip. It's, you know, so whether someone's enjoying our tea in the Maldives, or they're enjoying it at the Ritz-Carlton in Osaka, Japan, or they're enjoying it at a small cafe in the middle of Miami. We know that tea can be celebrated over, a romantic occasion, a business lunch, a moment of clarity and meditation. So all these different impacts.
Beautiful. Let me ask you, for people listening who are not tea drinkers, by the way, first of all, you know, I grew up in a house where every single night after dinner, my mom, her dessert was her cup of tea, even to this day. Like after dinner, she has a cup of tea every single night. And that was my first, experience with tea. And I can't tell you how many times I remember having serious conversations with my parents at the table over tea. You know, that was that when you had that tea, it changes everything. You know what I mean? So what do you say to people out there? First of all, for people who drink tea, what do you want them to know to elevate their experience? And also, what do you say to people who don't drink tea? How do you sell them on this experience that they should maybe try?
Right. Well, beautiful question, Saul. Thank you. So that ritual, that beauty of sacred lineage of what's being passed on from your mother to you and what you're passing on to your kids, of just permission to take time out in the middle of your day or at the end of the day and unwind. For us, we have a tea kettle that we put on top of the stove, and that sound, that whistle, just really signals out to the rest of our inner tribe, our family, like, you know, we're making tea. And sure enough, someone comes out of their room from doing homework or Zooming, like, hey, can you make me some chamomile? Can you make me some, can you make me something? And there is an act of joy in that process, but you know, we're so dialed in to this technology. We're so tapped into what's new and the latest and greatest thing that there's something about kind of peeling all these layers back and just being super mindful. You have no choice but to be super mindful when you're holding a cup of hot tea and just bringing that sensory experience to its full exposure.
Yeah.
It's a whole paradox. I don't have enough time to make a tea, but when you allow yourself a great, delicious cup of tea, that moment spills over into the rest of your life. And I believe also my family. I feel like when we get in that tea mind, that space,
right.
And everyone else kind of taps into it and becomes more intentional and beautiful.
Right. Now, also, you know, I know you've spent a lot of time. You've traveled the world learning about teas. You've traveled all over the Indies, the Middle East. I mean, you've been everywhere. And I'm sure you can teach us a little bit about what are the health benefits of drinking tea, just health-wise.
Great question. So first off, you know, I was sharing how I'm sort of an adversary to supermarket teas. And the reason is because what we source is the top 1-2% of all the teas that are produced in the world. What does that mean? Well, basically, imagine getting a bag of unsalted, unflavored chips. So on the top of the bag, you get these beautiful uniform shapes. And as you work your way down to the bottom, you get powder or dust. So what ends up happening is, as they're producing our teas in the factories, the dust flies up in the air, falls on the ground, they sweep it in giant piles, and that's reserved for most traditional paper tea bags with a staple on it. I won't mention any brands. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these large brands exposing Camellia sinensis, or what we know as a tea plant. But all true tea comes from Camellia sinensis, and that's white and green, oolong black and pu'er. And there are many different health effects, according to the Linus Pauling Institute, many other research papers out there on the health effects of tea. So yes, it has caffeine, it has polyphenols, flavonoids, antioxidants, bioflavonoids, all these amazing things that help increase the collagen in the skin, help with heart disease, SARS research, COVID-19 research, incredible the amount of power that is impacted in this plant that's been around, at least used by our species for at least 5,000 years.
How was tea even discovered? Like, where did it come from? Who was the first to realize that leaves and water make something a little special?
This was the first energy drink in the world.
The first Red Bull.
The first Red Bull Monster, double shots of espresso. Right. This was the 5-hour energy drink came from this. And it was a gentleman who was a monk, a philosopher, a king, who was taking his boiling water in Yunnan province in China and was letting it cool out on his windowsill, because that's how you purify water. Still today, many, many parts of the world, this is how they purify water. A wind picked up, blew a leaf from a local tea plant, fell into his pot of cooling water. Not wanting to waste the water, he drank it and claimed its healing elixir. So you might be thinking, like, how can someone feel that kind of effect from one single leaf? But again, we're so overstimulated that, you know, just the effect that this had on this one leaf, and it takes very little amount of high quality tea to really make that impression and that impact. But this feeling of this clarity, where sort of the phrase of the mind get cut, that the brightness around him was starting to come together and come to life. And he felt like he needed to share it with the world.
And here we are, Art of Tea.
And it's still hip and new. There's still people discovering it. And
right, right.
86% of millennials are tea drinkers. It doesn't mean that they don't go to the dark side and enjoy a really good cup of coffee.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Just means that they'll have tea at one time and they'll have, and I love a great cup of coffee. Like, I really love, you know, African coffees.
Right.
But there's a time and place sometimes for coffee, and there's a time and place for tea.
Okay. Two technical questions here. I have to ask this. Okay. Don't be offended. Sugar or no sugar? I'm sorry. I have to throw it out there. Sometimes I put a little turbinado in, you know, the browns. I put a little of that raw sugar in there. And I'm not kidding, Steve. So every time I put the sugar, I see your head like right in front of me. And you're going, you are killing my product. Get that crap out of here. Yeah. So tell me, give me, for those people out there that like it a little sweet, what do we miss? Is it because we haven't had high quality teas that we need the sugar? Are you saying that your product, you don't even need the sweetener because you don't want to kill the flavor? Like, where do you stand on sweeteners?
Right. So when we create teas or source teas, what we put out there in the world is what we call self-drinking teas. But because we're used to a traditional paper tea bag, it requires lemon to cut through some of that bitterness. It requires honey to break through that astringency, or sugar, right? So we're used to that in order to really help lift up sort of the tannins and those extra flavonoids and other properties within the tea. But when you're drinking a whole leaf, high quality tea experience, we first recommend trying it on its own. Now, with that said, the best way to make tea is how you enjoy it. Mm. If you love it with turbinado, then lean in and enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you, brother. I got permission from the Art of Tea to put my sugar. My kids are going to hear that because they're always upset at me when I put it. I don't put it in all the time, just so you know. And by the way, I don't always drink your tea all the time. My kids know it has to be a special time. You know, many parents listening, you will recall when you bought your kids their first little tea set, right? Yeah. That little porcelain tea set. And I still remember, I'm getting a little emotional. I remember my oldest, who's now 17, getting her first tea set. Wow. And it was invisible, right? But when we sat there drinking nothing, it was already special. And then when our second daughter was born at the hospital, that's actually when we gave our first daughter at the hospital a new tea set. We wanted to make it special, like it was almost a gift from her new sister. And we got her this beautiful porcelain one, and it had the blanket, like the picnic blanket, the whole thing. And tea sets were a really big deal in our family. And now today, with, you know, we have four kids and three teenagers, tea is a big part of our life, and Art of Tea is a part of our life. My kids know if I'm at the computer working, I don't want Art of Tea. The only time I'll drink Art of Tea is when we are sitting as a family and we will light a candle. And it's like the kids have something important to talk about. You know, one of my teenagers is going through something difficult, and we go pick our flavors. And, you know, when we get Art of Tea in our home, by the way, everyone should check out the website. You will never see more beautiful marketing, packaging, sensitivity to color, and the names of the teas. They're going to blow you away. You know, when we get an Art of Tea package in our home, it's like getting an iPhone. It's like getting an Apple product. We get this little black box. We come around the table together as a family. People think we're nuts. We open the box. One of my favorites was the holiday sampler. Mm-hmm. These flavors, everyone listening, listen to these flavors, okay? Listen to how different this is from what you probably tasted. Pumpkin spice chai. Okay, that's one flavor. Pumpkin pie. Apple pie. Dark chocolate peppermint. And when we take these flavors, we just sit around and we smell them. We close our eyes and smell them. My personal favorite, just so everybody knows, is the white coconut cream and the Earl Grey cream. These two are insane. As a matter of fact, the Earl Grey cream even has a candle, because that's all the times that I want to just smell the bag. And when I give a gift to a guest that comes to our home, I will give them a tea bag from Art of Tea, and I will tell them, when you open the bag, just smell it for 5 minutes. Don't even just make, just smell it, enjoy it. It's the most unique flavors. I mean, we get the bags of this stuff. We get the bags of the butterscotch and the winter, you know, the white winter chai. Like, we are huge fans of this product. And it's been such an amazing thing to see how you've changed the flavors. I remember when you had gunpowder back in the day. But one of the things I love about your collections is that it seems like you've come up with specific categories. Like, I saw a tea the other day that I didn't know you had, called Happy. And that's my wife wears a perfume called Happy. My wife is 99.9% happy. That little piece she's not happy is when I mess up. But so, like, when we found out that there was a tea that Art of Tea made called Happy, we were like, whoa. So tell us a little bit about, how do you come up with the flavors or the collections that you've created?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've got to give a lot of credit to our team. In terms of really helping to elevate the game on our design, on our photography, and just really trying to reach the customer where they're at. We want to be big enough to really reach people and impact their lives, but yet small enough where they know that this is a handmade, handcrafted product. So in terms of name generation and idea generation, I became obsessed very early on. I had like a little journal notebook next to my bed where I would literally wake up in the middle of the night with different ideas and different recipes, and I'd write them down. You know, and I, in my years of training at the Ayurvedic Institute, we would dive into different sensory experiences and how they impact different parts of the nose, different parts of the mouth, and really utilizing this more from a medicinal standpoint for how the herbs that we would consume would affect the different stages of digestion. So I've been able to interpret that same instrument in terms of how those flavor notes pair out in terms of blends. So when we taste the tea, when we blend the tea, how the ingredients will blend together. So we don't do one complete batch at a time. We'll let certain herbs and botanicals mingle and the aromatic compounds spread at specific stages before we add on more ingredients in that process. And we didn't actually create a functional line until many years later. So even though my background's in preventative medicine, we didn't have anything that was wellness focused, because I didn't want to mislead anyone into selling snake oil. Like, this tea is going to cure you, or this tea is going to, you know, help you lose 150 pounds. It really is the ritual of tea that has the greatest impact. And part of that is having a delicious experience. Tea should be absolutely wonderful as you consume it. So that's where we came up with Happy and Feel Better and Breathe and a number of other wellness-based teas to really help hit some of those different notes. Still, you know, great tasting.
Yeah. And, you know, look, you didn't invent Earl Grey, you know, but when I first tried your Earl Grey cream tea, and I'm someone who loves Earl Grey, it tasted like nothing else I ever experienced it. And I was like, how did he discover the atom? Like, how did you discover something that no one else had figured out?
Thanks, man.
I mean,
you know, no. And so what we found is people were adding cream to their Earl Grey because it was just too puckery. Mm-hmm. And they were adding honey because it just wasn't sweet, because they were using a lower quality black tea leaf. So we ended up choosing very high quality black tea leaf that has natural amino acids and natural oil content. Then we take Italian bergamot oil, which is from an etrog, by the way. And we extract that oil from the etrog, from the bergamot fruit, and we hand blend that into the tea. And that is a true authentic Earl Grey. Becomes like millions of little paintbrushes that coat all these different high quality tea leaves. Then what we do is we add a touch of French vanilla. And French vanilla, which is different than bourbon vanilla, Madagascar vanilla, is more of an eggy, creamy style vanilla. So you have this high peak of this, almost like this Fruit Loop style experience from the high quality bergamot that we're using, balanced with this smooth, rounded finish of our high quality French vanilla. And so it truly is a self-drinking tea. It's definitely one of our most popular teas.
That's incredible. Wow. So you're like a mad scientist. I mean, you're mixing everything. And, you know, one of the things that I've read about your company is that you create every order that anyone orders. You create the order when you get the order. This isn't just sitting around and you're just putting it in boxes. How are you able to sustain that as a company?
I think part of it's permission from the customers that this isn't going to, you know, be an Amazon where it's going to ship to you tomorrow before, you know, 5 p.m. Right. That, and if we do run behind, we let them know that you're our number one priority. We're doing everything we can to help get this to you as quickly as possible. So we're not in a system called pick and pack. We're in a system where we blend. Just like if you go to a restaurant, and you order a
right
salad that's made just for you. So we have that same philosophy in mind. We're putting the teas together. We're hand labeling, hand sealing. We're putting that whole order together and all vertically integrated, all made in our warehouse here in Los Angeles.
It's great. Look, I subscribe to your all your notifications on all your products coming. And the guilty pleasure in my life is Art of Tea. And every time I get, no, it's true. Every time I get one of those new flavors that are coming out or something with chocolate, and I'm like, ooh, should I? I'm like, yeah, I should. did you ever create a flavor by accident? Like, did you ever mix something and you were like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, and any surprises along the way?
Yeah. So when I first was starting, I was blending in my living room and we had boxes all over the place. And you know, knowing that my cell phone was the center for customer service as well as many other places, I was on the phone and I was blending, and in order for certain ingredients to marry together and to blend together, knowing that they need to rest for the flavor compounds to mix, I was blending one batch, and while I was taking an order from a customer, and we work with some pretty high-end restaurants and venues, I accidentally blended some ingredients into a different batch of tea.
Oops.
And I said over the phone, I was like, oh, shoot. And the customer was surprised, like, what happened? I said, never mind. And I'm sorry. How can I help you? I'm like, I'm calling to place an order. So we placed the order. I took the 5 pounds of messed up tea. I put it in a bag, tucked it away in the corner. And my wife walks in and she automatically notices the one mess up. She's like, what is that? I'm like, and then, by the way, boxes everywhere, bags everywhere. Right. Like she notices
how
the one
she
thing.
She zone in on that.
They're just good. They know. They know. They know when you mess up, you cannot hide it. Yeah. So I said,
The best ones know.
Yes. That's right. And you want someone to help keep you accountable. That's how we grow as humans, right?
Yeah.
So she just noticed it. She's like, what is that? I'm like, nothing. Don't ask. She's like, well, what is it? I said, I messed up. I was, blah, 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 this is what I did. And she said, well, how do you know that you messed up? I was like, I'm a tea expert. I think I know.
Come on, master blender. Come on.
Yeah.
You married a master blender.
She's like, well, you might want to try it. You might not have messed up. It might be actually good. I'm like, I know it's not good. I'm not going to try it. So it was burning in my mind, you know, all night. And then the next morning, like I snuck over and I made it. It's actually really good. So then I started to sample that out to a few customers, and it's by far one of our most popular herbal blends. It's called French Lemon Ginger.
And that's a great example to everyone listening. You know, sometimes
mess up more often.
There you go. Turn your mistakes into successes. Well, that's awesome. You know, Steve, also, I remember years ago, you took me on a tour of your company. I got to see the factory of how it was created. And I remember specifically seeing the appreciation that you have for your team, and that the culture that you create in your company is very unique. And, you know, you talk a lot about values and impact. What are those core values of your company that we can maybe take with us into our lives?
Yeah. Well, so we took a lot of inspiration by being in the hospitality industry from the Ritz-Carlton. So the Ritz-Carlton has their credo. So you ask any employee, whether they're doing landscaping or waiting your table or greeting you at the front desk, they have on them their credo. And as an organization, around the world, each week they're reviewing a different credo. And so it keeps everyone on track with, like, we're a value-driven organization. And so we took that same methodology and we created an acronym called ICARE. And each core value, each letter in ICARE stands for a different core value. It stands for impact, culture, accountability, responsibility, and excellence. So what we do is we review a different core value before we go over our financial goals and what we're trying to achieve and what roadblocks might be in our way for this week. We review them and we talk about how is this showing up as a leadership team, and then broken up by department, they also review that core value and how is this showing up in your department. And it could be like, hey, so-and-so did a fantastic job. And I just want to highlight, they really highlighted impact. Impact is our number one core value. It starts with our people first. You know, Beautiful. We're being a people first organization, and what can we do to continue to take care of and support? And really, because if we're taking care of our people, then that energy, I believe, is felt throughout someone actually enjoying that tea drinking experience.
Wow. And I have a feeling that, and I can say this being your friend, and I have a feeling that everyone that knows you would stipulate that you live these values, not just at work, but at home. And what's so unique about you, and I hope people listening who are building, you know, I have people listening who are building companies and startups, make sure that those values that define you as a human being, as a person, are the values that you inject in your work. They don't have to be separate from each other. And those people that take their values, their personal values, what it is that they value, and put it into their work, those are the ones that find real success. You know, Steve, making a product like this and sending it out, I don't know how often it is that you would get feedback, but do you ever get feedback from customers and hear the impact you're making?
I keep thinking about, like, when I was doing deliveries early on, like literally my car, like loading it up and dropping them off at different hotels. I remember someone was coming out of a restaurant and they're like, Oddity, I know Oddity. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Like, oh, and I, you know, I just thought that they confused it with maybe like Tazo or some other tea company, right? And they're like, I'm like, oh, great. They're like, no, really, we love Art of Tea. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, what's a tea that you like? And they literally describe a gift box that we were selling. And this is when I built it in Dreamweaver. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually interacting with one of my first,
how cool
first
is
customers.
That?
It was so cool. It was so incredibly cool. So, you know, unfortunately, because we don't have a walk-in store that I can interact with
right.
with customers directly, I don't always get that direct feedback.
Steve, you know, I work in the film business and movies are a big part of my life. And this podcast is one that we highlight films specifically that have inspired us. Take a moment and think, is there a film, a movie that you love or a scene in a film that you've loved that you think embodies, whether it's the culture of your company or the kind of leader that you strive to be, or something that just inspires you?
I got to, you know what? I like the classics and I like the more innocent driven movies. It's going to sound super cheesy, man, but I actually love Mary Poppins.
Really?
That's awesome. Not what you'd expect it, right?
That's a family favorite here. What is it about that film?
The blend of animation with reality coming together. Innovative, right? And still innovative today. Also just the joy in the process of watching that movie. And so we watched it multiple times as a family. And there's a Disney effect that we aspire to as an organization. You know, as someone's opening up a box of tea, someone's sipping and they're enjoying a tea experience, how can they be transported away from whatever mundane might be happening in their world and their reality? What can we do for that Disney effect to really help inspire them to live just the most beautiful ultimate life that they can?
Yeah, you know, it really is true. Drinking your teas, it does give a little magic to our lives, you know?
That means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, when you're mentioning Mary Poppins, I can't help but remember, I think there's a scene where they go into the sidewalk, into the chalk painting, and I think they sit there and they're drinking tea. Am I not mistaken?
Yeah.
Now then, what'd be nice? We'll start with raspberry ice and then some cakes and tea.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Was that the scene that you were like, whoa?
It's just beautiful. It's well orchestrated, well done, you know.
But it's interesting because they go into the art.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But they're going into the art to get to the tea. There's your company right there, man. Oh, come on.
I love it.
Boom.
I love it.
Look, it's really incredible to have you, to follow you. I urge everyone, check out this product. If you're a tea drinker and you haven't had Art of Tea, as far as I'm concerned, I can say this. He can't. He can think it, but I can say it. You haven't had tea. That's number one. Number two, if you're a person listening and tea is just not part of your life, try it out. You will be surprised what it can do to you. Of course, like, yeah, there's medical, there's health benefits. It'll calm you. There's like a tea disposition that comes over your body. Sit with your wife, sit with your husband, sit with your kids, even 7 years old, little. Sit with your little kids. There's that great scene in Karate Kid 2 when they have this intimate moment between Daniel and this girl he's dating from Okinawa, and it's all of, there's the tea ceremony. They pass the tea and they spin it around. Tea can really add a lot of meaning, and that ritual will calm you, will get you away from your device. And Steve, thank you for creating a product to elevate all of our experiences. I'll ask you one final question. What is that one thing that when you envision the impact you're making in people's lives around the world, what is that one thing that you want to add to our lives?
Permission to fully take time out. It's that paradox. I don't know that I'm going to have enough time to make a cup of tea, but if you allow yourself that digital detox just for a few moments and just to connect, we're all chasing time in one way or another, but you get so much more time back in your day with your loved ones, with yourself on a much deeper level, just by committing to making one beautiful cup of tea.
Steve, there needs to be a book about your story. You need
April 26th.
You're writing a book.
April 26th. Yeah, it's coming out.
Oh my gosh. April 26th. Are we able to know what the title of the book is yet?
It's Art of Tea, and it's very much around what we're discussing today, but diving in deeper, going into origin, meeting with different, some fun adventures and meeting with different farmers, growing this organization, and then some great tidbits on tea and how you can utilize it to help inspire a ritual in your daily life.
Amazing. So everybody check out this April, check out the book Art of Tea from Steve Schwartz. And Steve, where else can people follow you?
You can follow us at Art of Tea LA as an organization. You can check us out at artoftea.com. And if you want to learn more about tea, we do have a section under Learn where you can how to become a tea expert. And we have a level one and a level two on how to become a tea expert. And it's just you and me hanging out, tracking you as a listener, me as just sharing lessons and best practice on tea, origin, flavor notes.
What it's videos? It's videos.
Yeah, it's videos. Yeah, oh, all great. Just about like how to understand tea. So the tea sommelier training that I did for over a year and a half at Caesar's Palace, and the trainings that we do for Wolfgang Puck locations and other various beautiful hospitality centers around the world, and being able to distill that into 25 videos in level one and multiple videos in level two.
Excellent. Well, Steve, thanks again so much for sharing your incredible passion with the world, and especially sharing your time with me and our audience. Thank you so much, Steve.
I think you're wonderful. And I'm so honored to be tracking with you today. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much for being here today listening. I really appreciate you spending your time with me. Please, again, subscribe, like us, rate us, review us, share us with your family and friends. And I truly hope that each and every one of you has an incredible life, and not just a life that's good, and not just a life that's great, but that each and every one of you has a life of awesome.
Tea for two and two for tea, just me for you and you for me alone.